Okay, well, sorry to bring you out of the sunshine, but the session won't be too long, and then we'll be able to get back into the sunshine. There's an outline on in your booklets at the end there, under session 5. Yeah. I was speaking to a friend recently, and she was saying why she broke up with someone. Her and her boyfriend were chatting about their relationship, and he said, "You know, I feel like there are three people in our relationship: you, me, and God." To which she said, yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. Although seemingly a Christian, he thought it was a problem that she spoke about God, that she brought God up in conversation when they were chatting about things. Whereas she thought it was a problem that he never spoke about God nor wanted to, that he never initiated prayer. So he would go to church, go to Bible study, be involved in lots of church things, thought Christianity explored was great. He wanted to people to become Christians like, you know, he himself had. He wanted a Christian girlfriend. He wanted a Christian wife. But he didn't want them as a couple to chat about Christian things or pray together. He didn't see the point. Now, what did this man expect from a woman who was a Christian? You know, what were his relationships with other Christians like? Did he and his church friends ever chat about Christian things together? I think for my friend, the issue became obvious for her because they were courting, you know, with a view to see if they should get married. And in my experience, when men or women do make the observation, you know, that someone never chats about Christian things, they are normally speaking about their boyfriend or girlfriend or their spouse. But what about the rest of the church family? It's still an important issue, isn't it, for us in our relationships. It's not just an issue between spouses. Do we chat to one another about Christian things? And if the answer is, well, yeah, not really, why is this the case? We've been thinking a lot this weekend about sharing Jesus with those who are not yet Christian, but what about sharing Jesus with those who are already Christian? Some of us do it really naturally. A lot of us really struggle with it. So that's why we're going to spend some time looking at that issue now. I think often as Christians we find it difficult to chat to family and friends who aren't Christian about Christian things because we're not really spending much time chatting to our Christian friends about Christian things. So we do in a formalised time, you know, Bible study group, but at other times, you know, even after church, often our conversations are not distinctly Christian. And so then it's like this really rough change of gears to speak to someone who isn't a Christian about Christian things, because we're not used to it, even with our Christians, other Christians. Now, some of us might say, well, it's a cultural thing. You know, we don't do that in England. Well, the gospel needs to transcend our culture, our cultural background, whatever that is. And God has given us wonderful reasons why we can speak to each other about Christian things and why we should. And we're going to look at a couple of those reasons now. The first reason why we can speak to one another is because all Christians are united together by the Holy Spirit. So that's our first point on the outline there. Christians are united together by the Holy Spirit. When God saved me, he gave me his Holy Spirit. And that was, in one sense, that experience was unique. You know, it happened to me once in 1980. You know, some of you hadn't even been born then for the first time, let alone been born again. A couple were Christians before then, but since 1980, God has generously poured out his Spirit amongst us, and most of us would now say that we're Christian. We at the Barge are a group of men, women, children, various ages, different places of birth, and amongst us we represent about 20 different nationalities, which is pretty amazing, isn't it, given the size of our church. Sometimes we like the same things, you know, maybe like the luxury of this conference centre may be an example. But we also like different things, don't we? Some of us love computer games, others don't. Some of us find cooking enjoyable and relaxing, others, like Pete, find it immensely stressful. Some of us like romantic comedies because they have happy endings. Others of us can't stand that they're all the same and they're so predictable and find, you know, Steven Seagal much deeper. Some of us watch Neighbours, while others of us are still perplexed that, you know, men in their 30s watch those programs. And most of us... most, most of us like watching the London Marathon, and today only five of us are actually running in it. We're also in different stages of life. The jobs we do range enormously. We're a real mix of people, aren't we? So how did we come together? Through God's work of the Holy Spirit. He is in each of us, if we're a Christian, and because of that, we share the same spirit, the same life within us, the same mindset. You know, we don't all share Jane's spirit, thankfully, but we do all share God's spirit, which cuts across all the normal, natural divides of humanity, our country of birth, languages, gender, marital status, job, economic situation. You can't be a Christian and not have the Spirit. You may not feel like you have him at times, but the reality is, as a Christian, you do, because of God. God has given his Spirit to you. The Spirit works in us in many ways, and one way he does is to help us in our conversations, which takes us to our second point. The Holy Spirit helps us in our conversations. So despite all our differences, and many of these differences are God-given to enrich the body of believers, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. So therefore, we have something to talk about with each other, God. It's not like if I try to speak to Marcus about Jane Austen. If I do, you know, his face is blank. He doesn't have the spirit of Austen, if you like. I could speak to him about Tom Cruise, and he might get a little excited because he thinks he looks like him. However... Oh, Lena's here. I don't know. However, when I speak to Marcus about God, you know, there's that connection straight away. It's much easier because God has given each of us his spirit. Both of us have the spirit of God, you know, within us. And it's much more profound than just a connection about Jane Austen. It's a family connection. We are part of the same spiritual family that lasts for eternity. If you meet my five brothers and sisters, you can tell that we're from the same family. There are physical similarities, despite the fact that, you know, one of my brothers is 6'4" and I'm barely, you know, 5'4". But there are much more than physical similarities. You can tell by the way that we relate. Now, I'm very close to my siblings. It's amazingly kind of God that he's given me the family that he has. But no matter how good it is, that family won't last forever. The church, however, not just the Barge, but Christians the world over and throughout time, belong to one family, a spiritual family that is united because of God's work through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Can people tell we are related by the way that we relate? There are a number of reasons why we might not be relating well, a number of reasons why we might not be speaking Christianly to one another. And we're going to look briefly at three of them now. The first one is, on your outline, because we don't get on. Now, for some of us, we might think, well, that's no big deal. We're just different. We don't need to get on with everyone in church. There are other people to speak to, and there are other people, you know, to speak to them. For some of us, though, it's much more serious. You know, we just don't like each other. Whether we think we don't get on or whether we don't like each other, the solution is basically the same. It might be that if you don't like each other that you need to resolve some past issue, but basically it's the same issue. We're avoiding one another, and that's a problem. We need to look at each other from God's perspective, don't we? So first of all, creation. We're all made in God's image, and so we're all precious and of equal value. Secondly, the fall. We've all sinned, so we all mess up. Thirdly, the cross. God knew each of our sin much more than we know our own, more than we know someone else's sin, and God believed that each one of us was worth dying for. And fourthly, the perspective of God's sovereignty and goodness. God causes each and every person to walk through the Barge door, to come to our church. He wants them to be part of our church family. So if God created that person, and if Jesus was prepared to die for that person, and God in his sovereignty and goodness had them walk through the Barge door, then who am I to say, well, actually, no, you know, I'm not going to bother with them. I think when we get, you know, fixated on people's differences, you know, people can drive us nuts. But when we choose to actually love them, some of those differences that drove us nuts previously, we can actually end up finding quite endearing. And two stories I've heard recently at the Barge, you know, this was the case. On two different occasions, people have said to me that when they first met this person, you know, they they thought this person was strange, they didn't like them, they thought they were weird. But when they actually were prepared to get to know them, they actually really liked that person now. Their whole view of that person changed, and now they have great affection for that person. When we're prepared to get to know people, you know, we realize the spectrum of normal is quite wide, and that's fine, that's okay, it's no big deal. When we're prepared to get to know people, we come to, you know, realize what issues really matter and realize many things we were precious about were just our insecurities or stupidities. Also, a key thing to remember in all of this is that because we are men and women who have the Holy Spirit, we have access to God. You know, we can pray. And when we pray for people, we grow to love them. So if there are people at church that maybe you're avoiding, then maybe pray for that person and you'll grow to love them. God has given us all we need to relate to one another. He's given us all we need for life and godliness. We just need to choose to be godly. And we can because we have God's Spirit in us. The Spirit helps us in our conversations with one another because he convicts us in the first place that maybe we're avoiding someone, or he's convicting us that we are storing up hatred in our heart about someone. If he is convicting you, then say yes to his will and try and relate Christianly to that person. A second reason why we might not be speaking Christianly to others is because of sin in our life. We all sin every day, don't we? For some of us, we feel guilty about past sin that we actually have been forgiven about, but we still feel guilty, we feel ashamed, and it can affect our relationships with other people. It can cause distance in our relationships with others. We're scared to get close to someone. But it normally doesn't need to. We need to distinguish between actual guilt and guilty feelings and come back to the cross and remember that God has forgiven us despite how we feel at times. Then there is sin that we can refuse to be repentant of. We don't want to change. Or maybe we think it's too late, think we can't change. We don't want to have Christian conversations with other Christians at any depth because of the fear of exposing our sin. We need to remember that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all sin and no sin was too great for him. We need to also remember that we can always change. It's not like I can say, oh, Jane, you know, you're 41, you're too old to change. No, God expects me to be godly and he's given me his Spirit and I need to say yes to his Spirit, and that for some of us may be especially painful and difficult at first when we're trying to change old habits. But over time, as we feed the Spirit, if you like, and starve our sinful nature, stop saying yes to it, then we'll see change in our life and the godly habits will slowly develop and form. We need to also remember that we don't need to tell other Christians everything we're struggling with. So some people want to, others don't. But if you don't want to, that's fine. But don't let it be an excuse for not having any personal Christian dialogue. You know, you might speak in more general terms, like ask them to pray for you because you're struggling in a particular area. You don't need to say what it is. A third reason why we don't speak Christianly to one another is because we're not sure what to say. Now, sometimes I think we can, you know, analyse this too much and end up saying nothing. We think we have to be deep and meaningful and think of something really profound to say something from the sermon. But it might just be, you know, how's your growth group going? Just like we would ask someone, how did soccer go on Tuesday night? You know, if they're in the soccer team, we can ask, how did Bible study go? And it doesn't have to be a spoken conversation either. It could be email or text. So how's your growth group going? That's an easy one, isn't it? The next one some of you might cringe at a bit more. But a key way for us to relate Christianly is to initiate prayer with one another. Now, if that feels weird to you, it's because maybe you've had a bad experience with someone initiating prayer with you and you're a bit hesitant about it. But more likely, it's because you're not in the habit of doing it. And people do it despite all different personalities. So you can't say, oh, I'm shy, therefore I won't initiate prayer with someone. We need to try and get in the habit of initiating prayer right then if we're not in that habit. So someone says something and we can say, well, how about I pray for you now? Or you're just talking about things generally. How about I pray for the situation now? Or you've had someone over for a meal and maybe before they leave, you say, oh, actually, I'd like to pray for you before you go. End that night on a good note, on a Christian note. And some other ideas are, you know, think about Christians that you know, Christian men and women that you know, and who do speak Christianly. Think about what they do, how they do it. Another idea is be thankful to God in your own relationship with Him. And when we are thankful to God, that will just flow out in our other relationships as well. I think a key thing I'd really like us to do at the Barge is to tell other Christians at the Barge that you're really trying to speak more Christianly to other Christians and ask them to help you with that. No one really got that. Okay? Yeah. Also, when things happen, say for example, Nelson's born, you know, Rob and Lydia have just got engaged, you know, different things have just happened in our church family. You know, don't just say congratulations, but recognise God's work in all of this. Say, you know, thanks to God, praise God. You know, that's a very kind of God. Whatever is, you know, normal, natural wording for you. Recognise God's work in all of this. Christian people are ones, like we are people that are actually supposed to be thankful to God. The Bible tells us that the unbeliever is someone who refuses to be thankful to God. So let's not have conversations with one another where, in fact, we're no different really from unbelievers, where we can leave God completely out of the picture. Well, our final point on the outline, and more briefly, our conversations help us and others keep being Christian. Well, our conversations with other Christians, if they're actually Christian conversations, help us keep being Christians. They encourage us to keep going, to keep running the Christian race through the ups and downs that always comes, inevitably comes with being a Christian. And most of us know, don't we, from our own experience, if we've been Christians for a while, that's the case. It's an obvious point. We might have found someone's words very encouraging to us, but the amazing thing is, when we build others up, it also feeds our own relationship with God. So when we choose to be godly in our relationships, whether spoken, email, text, blogging, whatever type of conversation, we are feeding the spirit nature in us. So our Christian conversations with other Christians benefit us, they benefit others, and they also glorify God. So it's win-win-win situation. God has caused us to be in relationships with one another, and relationships bring responsibilities, don't they? Every relationship we're in brings responsibilities. And, you know, we can think so much about our rights in relationships, but first and foremost, as Christians, we need to think about our responsibilities. We're responsible for building one another up. And Ephesians 4 is a great chapter about this, if you want to look at that later. And a key way to build one another up is by our conversations. The more we do this, the easier it will be to chat to our family and friends who are not yet Christian about Christian things, because it will be more part of who we actually are. There won't be such a rough change of gears.